You're listening to The Moment, an interview podcast series on life. We interview and capture conversations with creative minds, thought leaders, disruptors, and the people that are doing what they love while challenging the status quo. You can find the show notes on our website, themomenthq.com, and follow us on Instagram and Facebook. But for now, let's dive into The Moment. Welcome to the Moment HQ podcast, Uncovering Your Life-Changing Moments. I'm your host, Monica Cade. Today we're chatting with Sarah Rucroft, who is the producer, creative director, and the curator for the event Wired for Wonder, a proud innovation by CommBank. This is an eye-opening event dreamed up to create a space for innovative thinking. The event brings together storytellers, inventors, dreamers, artists, musicians, technologists, writers, and scientists to learn and connect and explore the concept of wonder. She also owns a baby shoe company called Sienna Baby. Now, Sarah's life-changing moment happened after she moved to Sydney with a partner. That didn't work out. And then one day she took an interview at the company PeopleBank and was interviewed by her future husband, and it changed from there. So let's welcome her. Hi, Sarah. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
Pleasure. Now, for the listeners, your future husband, this is what was your thought at the time, wasn't it?
Yeah, I knew it. Love at first sight. I'm having a giggle because it takes me back to that moment. That's how obviously life-changing it is. And I just remember sitting across the desk from him just with this silly grin on my face, just kind of knowing I'd get the job and knowing that I was going to get more than the job, like I was going to end up with love, you know, with love and children and marriage and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah.
And I should probably also note that Sarah is now married to this future husband.
I am, yes. It's all very serious. And that was, God, nearly 11 years ago now. Takes me back to a very giggly stage of my youth.
Amazing. So when you moved to Sydney, what inspired the move to Sydney?
I was dating the wrong guy and was in the wrong job and just felt like I needed change. And I actually encouraged him to apply for a job in Sydney, which he got. And so I decided to go too. I was up for an adventure, 20 something, ready to spread my wings. And I got up to Sydney and I fell in love with Sydney very fast and fell out of love very fast too.
Okay, so you landed the job at PeopleBank. Yeah. And then what happened from there?
So love blossomed secretly. We started dating and decided to keep that just on the down low. Mm-hmm. Because we sort of wanted to just see where that went without the pressure of everybody sort of watching that unfold. Mm-hmm. And then after a year, we decided that we might move in together. So we sort of thought, well, if we're going to be letting payroll know that we're both at the same address, we should maybe let work know too. And it was like one of those 50-50 sort of moments, like half people were like, yeah, duh. and the other half were actually genuinely shocked because we'd always kept it really professional at work. And so no one actually had, well, a lot of people didn't have a clue, which was, I think, a credit to us. Like it actually showed that we could keep it professional, which was good.
Why was this moment in time so life-changing for you?
100 reasons. When you're young and you fall in love, you sort of think you know what love is. And I had my heart broken and I'd healed in Bondi, which is such a beautiful place. I had a year in Bondi of just being single and meeting great people and learning how to meditate and going down to the beach every day. And I was just in a really full, happy place. And when I met Sean, I was ready to settle down and build a life with someone, and it was different. It was sort of a different relationship. It was just really, really beautiful. And it changed my life for a number of reasons. You know, we have had like an incredible story. Ours is our story. But, you know, we've learned incredible lessons along the way about love and coming from different countries. He's from England, I'm from Australia. The cultural sort of differences, the humour in growing up together and growing closer and all those sorts of things. So, look, it changed my life because now I'm married to him and we have two beautiful little girls. And he supports and has encouraged me along the way. Ever since that interview, he said that he believed in me and he thought that I was pretty special, but not just because he wanted to date me. Mm. Also because he saw that I was sparkly. And, and you know, when someone sees you for your sparkliness, then, yeah, it can really make you shine a lot brighter. And so for me, that was that pivotal moment for us. Mm. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's really beautiful. What would you say is the secret to keeping your relationship honest and still having that connection with each other?
Well, those close to us know that I'm fiery and I'll, you know, call it. We have tough conversations along the way. We got close to getting married once and I got cold feet and he talked me through it. Like it wasn't just a done and dusted. We had really honest, open conversations and realized that actually the reason I was feeling a bit chilly in the ankles was that I actually wanted to be a mom. I thought I'd be a mom by 30 and I wasn't. And we were able to have a really honest grown-up conversation. And then we conceived Sienna, and Sienna was 8 months when we did get married and it was beautiful. So it was, I think the important thing is like not just going along with the flow for the sakes of it and not just ticking the boxes of, okay, now you move in together, now you get married, now you have children, like really checking in to go, well, is the timing right? And am I where I want to be? And are we where we want to be? And are we the best for each other? And just sort of asking those questions along the way. And like I've sort of said to people in the past, like if you're conscious and you are honest and you can have those tough conversations and you can fight, like fight fair, don't fight nasty,
yeah,
then you're able to navigate some pretty rough seas together. And like, you know, 11 years is a long time. It's not as long as obviously a lot of people out there that have been married for a lot longer, but I think that there's some commonality in long-term relationships, and it seems to be those things, you know, that you grow together, that you have a great friendship, that you laugh together, that you can be honest, that you can have the tough conversations, and that you check in and make sure that you're both on the same sort of path.
Mm.
So yeah, that'd be my tips.
I really like how you mentioned how you don't just coast along, go with the flow and just tick all the boxes, because I feel like for some of our society, you know, it's just like there are certain ages that you get to, and at those certain ages your life is supposed to look a particular way, or you know, where some people are brought up to believe that, okay, it's like finish university, get the job, get the house, get the partner, have kids. And there are nowadays as well, you know, we don't live in a world where that's something that you have to do. And it's, I think it's so important for people to explore, you know, are those things what I really want in my life? Or, you know, do I want my life to look a different way?
Absolutely. And it's funny, I saw a post on the like-minded bitches who drink wine thing the other day. And it was really interesting because it was this woman saying, help, you know, I feel like I should maybe have children, but I don't think I want them.
Mm.
And it was really cool. There were all these women from around the world like posting saying, you know, think about it. You don't have to do it, you know. Definitely don't do it if you're not sure, because, you know, kids are a full-time commitment. So you have to
give them back.
No, it doesn't work like that. So I really do believe in that sort of conscious transitioning, I've called it in the past. Like it's sort of, you know, thinking about if you're feeling restless, if you've got itchy feet for whatever reason, tuning into that and not just then following the next step and going, oh, that will make me feel better.
Mm.
Actually sort of sitting and meditating, drawing, writing, journaling, whatever sort of helps you kind of, you know, tap into your inner self or your, you know, your soul and actually go, what is my next right move? You know, I love that Oprah talk where she says that, what is my next right move? And I do that. And look, it's probably because I played chess as a young girl.
Awesome.
What's my next right move? What's my next right move? You know, and I want to win at my life. I'm not playing a game against anyone else. This is mine, and I'm not comparing myself to anyone else. I'm not trying to win against anyone else. I just want to win my game, game of life. So I feel like if people just take the time to tune into their purpose, who they are, what they want, then it can steer them in a really different direction, but that also unlock this whole new level of happiness because, you know, they're not caught in this whole, oh, if I had this, then I would be happy. Or if I did this, then I would be happy. Well, you might not be because that might not be for you, you know?
Exactly, and right.
So there's lots of people I've met along the way who have sort of followed those ticker box sort of scenarios and then found themselves and gone, oh, why did I do that? Like, that's not me, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It's so true. And I think it's also important to remember that sometimes when we do follow what is true for us, it doesn't mean that everyone around us is going to approve of it either. Mm-hmm. And they don't have to.
Yeah.
But that sometimes comes with the territory.
100% agree. 100% agree. Yeah.
Now tell me, what is one of the greatest lessons that having your girls has taught you about yourself?
Oh, I love my girls. they have taught me so much. I have learnt so much about the spectrum of emotions. You know, I thought I was emotionally intelligent before having children. Turns out, like, I hadn't even touched the iceberg, you know, the tip of the iceberg.
Mm.
They, you know, reflect back to you so much, but also have their own stuff going on. They have taught me patience, true patience, how to wind down. Like, you know, sleep deprivation plus hunger plus screaming children can be a pretty lethal combination. But,
yeah, I can imagine.
You know, just taking a moment and actually regathering myself before I kind of help them allows me to help them better. Leaning in, you know, I've read all these amazing corporate things that talk about leaning in corporate. Well, leaning into your children, like when they are being ratty and tired, that's actually probably when they need you the most.
Mm.
So like grabbing them and holding them and kind of tuning in, like, you know, talk to me about what's going on, help me understand, has just, oh God, I just feel like I'm, you know, a better person all round from being able to do that with them.
Mm.
And seeing the joy erupt on their face when you get it right. Oh, amazing.
It's really beautiful because I follow your posts on social media, and then also today I was listening to another podcast that you did, and you talked about the day where you missed a talk, I think, that you were supposed to go to at Kindy for Sienna.
Yeah, Mother's Day.
Yeah. And what I loved about that was that you missed it, but then you just went and told her the truth about it, you know, that you were tired and run down, and she really accepted that because you accepted yourself. And I think what I admire about that is that you still treat her as a person. You know, a lot of the time we can look at children and speak down to them because, you know, they're children, yet by still being honest and communicating with them, which you seem to do with your children, I think it's just teaching them such amazing skills as well, and having a real bonding relationship with each other.
Yeah, absolutely. And we see that now, like Sienna's three, and she's able to have these incredible conversations with us, and we can reason with her, and she's able to understand because we've taken the time to explain it to her. And you know, she just surprises me all the time with some of the things that she comes out with. It's definitely worth it. It is harder. Like it's a bigger conversation. It's more energy, and it's, you know, actually being there with them. And I've had times when I have not been tuned in, and I've not had those conversations, and it's like you've broken rapport and you're trying to get someone who is not in rapport with you to do something, and they're just not interested in doing that. Like, you know, they're just not. So when you actually do take the time to sort of tune in and have those conversations and be real and be honest, and I often apologize to Sienna, often, you know, whether it's like tonight I put cheese on her pasta and she didn't want cheese on her pasta. And anyone who's a parent of toddlers knows that, you know, is pretty scary. And I actually gave her heartfelt apologies. I was like, do you know what? I actually should know better because I know that you don't like cheese. So I can see that you're annoyed by that because, you know, silly mummy. I was like, what a goose. And then she just laughed and it was all over. And, you know, we moved along. And then she said to me, I'm sorry I got cross at you for putting cheese on my pasta.
Oh, that's so sweet.
And I said, you know what, that's okay, you know. And I'm like, checking and going, I can't believe I'm having this conversation with my 3-year-old. That's awesome.
I know. Imagine what the conversations will be like as she gets older.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. Yeah.
Now, you're obviously a really busy mum. So you're running Wired for Wonder, and then you also have Sienna Baby on the side as well. What are the realities of being a working mum?
Just not ever getting enough sleep. Mm. but do you know what? That's part of being a mum. Yeah. Like, it's really, I laugh, but like, you know, whether I've tried all the different angles. Like, I've tried stay-at-home mom, and I've tried part-time working mom, and I've tried, you know, all these different things. And I just find that regardless of how you structure your time, you always are going to be a little bit tired. So I sort of find that if I can keep a positive attitude, then that keeps me floating, which is handy. But I organize myself in a different way. Like, I'm pretty disciplined. You know, I'm pretty chaotic as well because I'm a creative, so my house always looks a little bit disheveled, but there's a rhythm to what we do and how we do it and how we get things done, and I feel like that's the way that it sort of works. But you've got to love what you do for that to work. Yeah. Like, if I was trying to be a work from home stay at home mum, which I'm like technically a work from home stay at home mum, and I hated what I did, then I would look for opportunities to play with, you know, baby, and, you know, tune in different ways. But instead, like, Stella's on a pretty good schedule. She sleeps, we play, we have good, like, story time, that sort of thing. When she's sleeping, I get some work done. If she's having a bad day, I push things out. Like, just sort of constantly managing on the sort of fly. But I do that anyway, so I don't know. It's probably sounds pretty chaos, but I feel like anyone who has children has chaos.
I feel like, to me, it sounds like, you know, you're responding to the situation, and you obviously have the flexibility to do that. So it's not really chaotic. You're just going with the flow.
Yes, you've nailed it. I read this really cool book, How Not to F Them Up, which is this really cool parenting book by Oliver James, who's this great psychologist, and he sort of describes different parenting styles, and I definitely sit in the flexi sort of, you know, willing to try different things and iterate and just make sure that we kind of have the best for everyone, and, you know, read the play, just constantly read the play. And that's my comfort zone, and it works for us, which is quite cool. Lets me juggle too, which I quite like.
Yeah, exactly. And what would you say for mums maybe who don't have that same kind of flexibility that you have?
What is your burning platform, and how will you create the change? Like, I really believe that it's up to us to experiment and to prove that we can do stuff. And I'm not just talking about women, I'm talking about men, I'm talking about people who want flexibility. There are all these amazing working sort of models out there, Holacracy, the ROW, results-oriented work environment. There's all these really great proven ways of working. It's up to us to shape the culture of the businesses that we work in. If we work for ourselves, then we need to define the way that we want to work. If we work for others, show, pitch, you know, try something different. CommBank's been incredible. You know, I have pitched and pitched and pitched again a number of different flexible working models, and then I've shown them how. So it's not just, you know, a one-way thing. Like, I put together a bit of a plan, and, you know, we check in, is this working? How's it going? And it is working. So I feel like people who feel backed into a corner have conversations with people who are working more flexibly.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a number of different options. Like I said, if you can negotiate flexibility within your existing role, yay. If not, is there something else that you could be doing? I do believe that the world needs to change. We need to update people's thinking in terms of flexibility. There are a lot of organisations that still believe in 9-to-5, 40-hour week. And I think with the introduction of technology, platforms, accessibility, that we actually need to update that and also understand how humans work. Like, really?
Yeah.
We've got all this amazing research that shows that the human brain is like got a productivity sort of peak of about 24 hours a week, and then after that we're just all kind of in that kind of trance, can't really take on anything else, oversaturated sort of space. So I feel like there's a real opportunity for people to experiment and play and see what they can make work for them. But, you know, you've got to get up there and give it a go. You know, pitch something, like I said before.
Dream it. Don't be afraid.
Yeah, really don't be. You know, I've been told more than one time, like, oh, my God, you've got so much courage, you know, internally at CommBank as well, and they celebrate that.
Mm.
And that makes me really pleased, you know, that this huge organisation that is a little kind of, you know, version of Australia in a way is willing when you put the right sort of framework in place. So I'm confident that I can deliver within the framework that I've created, which is why I've sort of made it work for me. But, yeah, I feel like it is possible, but people need to, yeah, get some courage.
Mm.
Have a shot of whiskey. No, don't have a shot.
No Dutch courage.
No. But give it a go.
Yeah, awesome. There's some great tips, and I think people listening, you know, can really take some of those ideas on board, and who knows what they can bring to their own organisations or business.
Yeah, hopefully.
So I've got some signature questions to finish up with.
Cool.
Tell me what moves you.
Oh, love. Love moves me. Oh, I'm a softie, a big softie. Obviously my family, but seeing people grow.
Yeah.
Yeah, seeing people's minds change.
Mm, beautiful.
Yeah, that, I love that, yeah.
And if you weren't in your current career, even though it's a little bit entrepreneurial, what would you like to attempt?
Oh, I think I would be an actress.
Ooh.
In another life. And every time we do Wired for Wonder at NIDA, I stand on that stage and there's a little bit of me that just thinks, oh, my God, this is awesome. I could do this all the time.
That's awesome. So would you like to do theatre in particular or any?
All the acting, just, yeah.
Fabulous.
All of it.
And what do you believe is your greatest asset?
Oh, Sienna said to me the other day, Mummy, you've got a really big brain. I've got a very little brain because I've got a little head. which actually made me laugh. Like, definitely, you know, one of my greatest assets is my thinking style, and stems, you know, what stems from that is positivity and resilience and creativity and all the stuff that I'm kind of famous for.
Yeah, I can vouch for that.
Oh, thank you.
And last question, tell me what's one piece of wisdom that you've been passed down that's really stuck.
Oh, I love that. Oh, there's so many, but the parenting ones come to mind, like my mom, who always, you know, says that this too shall pass. Mm-hmm. And my grandma Elise, who when mum was expecting her second baby, and which was me, and she was a bit worried because she was like, oh my God, I'll never love another one as much as I love my first. My grandma Elise said, don't you worry, they bring their own love.
No, I love that. That's so cool. I've never
heard. And I can vouch for that too, having Stells recently. Yeah, they definitely do.
Oh, very cute. Awesome. Well, that wraps up our time for today, but thank you so much for chatting with us.
Oh, thank you, Monica, for having me. You're amazing. I'm so excited to hear you speak at Wired for Wonder. It's going to be incredible.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Mom.
Bye.